Eugene's drinking water comes from the pretty and frequently pristine Mackenzie River. Water quality alone is more than enough reason to protect the river and its tributaries. And then you get all the scenic and other benefits that come with conservation. The Mackenzie River Trust is in the business of compiling those benefits in an ongoing campaign to protect lands along the river, and it has a major recent acquisition to trumpet. Joe Mall is the executive director of the Mackenzie River Trust and our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. Joe, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Give us an idea of how long the Trust has been around and what it's been doing over these years.
Mackenzie River Trust was founded in 1989, and initially a handful of Mackenzie River landowners who saw change coming and wanted to recognize all of those values that you just called out came together with a burgeoning land trust movement and said, this is an area worth protecting. So since that time of an all-volunteer organization, we've grown to now a staff of nine, working not only on the Mackenzie, but throughout Lane County, parts of Douglas County as well. And we've also become a part of a growth of the land trust community around Oregon. I know that Kelly Beamer from the Coalition of Oregon Land Trusts has been on your program as well.
So how different is the Mackenzie River Basin from what it looked like in 1989?
That's a good question. You know, with a lot of the research that's been done on just the demographic shifts in the Willamette Valley, certainly the pressure on growth in Portland is visible. I think that from 1989, at the end of the logging, when things really started to slow down, there are probably fewer people in some areas, more people in different areas, and there's a shift certainly towards recreation and second home, and less of what's interesting about this recent acquisition, less of the logging camp, logging era that preceded it.
So let's talk about Mackenzie Camp. I mean, when we talk about a logging camp, this would seem to indicate something 1940s or before, but I could be wrong.
It started then. It was active as a more than a camp, really a settlement of people who worked the woods, active until the mid-1980s when water quality and other concerns caused the county to ask them to close it down. And we're just scratching the surface on some of the history of the area, but it's a beautiful stretch. It's close to the town of Blue River, where at the time there was an active mill. And so it was a place that were for people in the community to live close to the river and live close to their place of business.
At Mackenzie Camp and elsewhere in the Mackenzie River Basin, I mean, was logging, there was a lot of it? I mean, has a lot of the land been worked over, cut over at some point?
Absolutely. It, through the 1980s, the Willamette National Forest was one of the biggest producers in the region. And so I moved here 11 years ago from Montana and was pretty surprised to the degree at the degree to which the level of distrust between people who came from the timber community and people who came at it from the, quote, environment or conservation community had. And much of it stemmed from a lot of that history. I know that the Northwest Forest Plan, the ONC lands, there are a number of things that are still really incendiary, hot-button kind of issues. And from the kind of work that we do, where we're working exclusively with landowners that get our attention and say, hey, we'd like to do something to protect this, we feel like the land trust community is in a good position to help to ease some of the tension and rebuild some of the trust that seems to have been lost over the years.
Which, that probably helps to be in that position, I'm thinking, versus, say, an environmental group that is challenging timber sales on federal or private land and, you know, getting into all the administrative appeals and court processes and all that stuff. What you're actually talking about is land acquisition, or at least rights of way, it sounds like.
That's correct. And the Roseboro Company, who sold us this purchase and is continuing to work with us on some additional lands, has been very open with us, very supportive of our ability to get in, do due diligence on the land, learn its history. It's a great position to be in when you're starting from a position of trust in a real estate negotiation versus, say, from a policy perspective, where I think oftentimes parties are starting from positions of distrust.
I would think that as long as the Mackenzie River Trust has been around, by now people are probably seeking you out and saying, you know, I'm thinking of unloading this land. Can I come to you? I mean, is it working that way where instead of the approach coming from you, it comes to you?
That's correct. That happened in this case as well, and probably 80 to 90% of the time that's the case. And if we had the resources and the facilities to handle everything, we would be running around all over the place. It's a difficult conversation then to have sometimes with a landowner to say, you have a wonderful property, we'd love to work with you. Unfortunately, we can't right now. So that's one of the things that the Coalition of Oregon Land Trusts is trying to do. And it's a really interesting time in conservation now because you have the Coalition, you have the Network of Oregon Watershed Councils, you have the Oregon Association of Conservation Districts. So throughout Oregon, there are land and water conservation groups coming at it from slightly different angles with different toolkits, but we're learning to work collaboratively in ways that really come up with some pretty neat creative solutions across the state to protect clean water, fish and wildlife habitat, recreational access, even the backdrops to our communities, which visually can just be so important.
Joe Mahl's our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. He's the executive director at the Mackenzie River Trust. MRT has just bought the Mackenzie Camp property from the Roseboro Timber Outfit. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange as we talk about the ongoing work of the trust and conservation work more generally. 800-838-3760 over the phone and by email jx@jeffnet.org. I mentioned acquisitions. So this is a straight out buy from Roseboro, right?
That's correct. So we will own it in fee title. And there, because of the footprint, part of the property includes about a 10-acre pond that's the left over essentially from some shallow gravel extraction that was done to build roads for things. And so given this is a really important Chinook salmon spawning area, bull trout feeding area, and so we'll do some restoration work there as well, work with the Forest Service, the Mackenzie Watershed Council, EWEB, and other partners to try to make those ponds something that actually benefits native fish. Currently they don't. And then we'll work with it. What's really interesting about this part of the Mackenzie is just immediately downstream there is a county park, which was a former state park. There are a couple of different – it includes a boat launch. Folks may be aware of the Thin Rock boat launch that Roseboro has graciously allowed the community to use for decades now. We'll become the owners of that and work with the Mackenzie Guides Association, Lane County, other partners to keep that access open. So there's a lot of opportunity to really incorporate this into things that community members would like to see. And that's a part of our work in the coming couple of years is to really assess what range of community uses and habitat conservation is the best mix for this site.
So it is not just land sitting there, it is land getting used as well. And I can see why you've had to staff up over the years to get to where you are now.
Yeah, it's interesting. The perception, I think the conservation community for a long time suffered from the perception that you could simply put an area off limits, protect it, quote-unquote, and leave it be, and it just doesn't work that way. Active management of conservation lands is a very real thing.
Well, and that's when you start getting complaints from people who really do want to use the land. You get the whole litany of like, hey, you just want to lock it up and not let anybody onto it, which is not your goal, you're saying.
Yeah, exactly. And it's a tension that we always have to balance and work with a community on because our sources of funding for many of these things, the private group, private individuals that support us, foundations, public agencies, all come with a set of expectations about how to manage that balance. How much public access should there be, if any, for some areas? Are these areas so critical to habitat, to the fish and wildlife that rely on them, that the impact of use is just too big a risk to take versus an area like this, which already has public access with the boat launch? How do you keep, at the end of the day, especially as our population grows, how do we keep from loving places to death? It's a great irony in conservation.
Joe, are there some places then that are under the control of the Mackenzie River Trust that you do have off limits just because they are so sensitive environmentally, you don't want people tromping through there?
So half of what we do, both from at this point at least from a acreage footprint perspective and sort of our work is working with private landowners on conservation easements where we work with them on a legal agreement that may eliminate some development potential in exchange for cash or some tax benefit. But that remains the private landowner's land, and ultimately it's up to him or her on whether or not they allow people in. And most conservation easements that they just continue as they were. If people allowed people on to hunt or fish or hike, they will continue to do that. And we don't add additional expectations about restrictions as long as there aren't impacts on visible impacts and measurable impacts on the wildlife, fish and wildlife habitat values. For some of the properties that we own, like Green Island, which is at the confluence of the Mackenzie and the Willamette River, we have a series of tours. We have a big celebration in the summer where we open the gates. At other times of the year, we keep the gates closed. It has a lot of equipment. We've suffered some theft and other things in the past, and we don't have people out there. It's reaching a point from a restoration standpoint where much of the restoration work is getting completed, and we know there's more and more community interest in that. So, again, how you open it up or work with a partner organization like Oregon State Parks or maybe the county or some other that is in the business of managing public recreation to do that at the same time that you, in this case, honor the commitments we've made to the Bonneville Power Administration and the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife to have the land primarily for the benefit of fish and wildlife habitat.
Joe Mulligan, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, Executive Director of the McKenzie River Trust. We're talking about the business of the trust and the recent acquisition of the McKenzie Camp property here on the Jefferson Exchange. 800-838-3760 and jx@jeffnet.org. You mentioned equipment, which raises the question about how intensively the restoration work goes on at some of the sites you manage.
This past summer and a half ago, I guess, there again at our Green Island property just north of town here, we had a 58-acre site that was a much larger gravel extraction, had gravel extraction history. And for 4 months, the Wilders company in town here was in there with really heavy equipment, the big dozers and the big dump trucks, recontouring this landscape that for 60 years had been used for gravel extraction. And it was done to one of our overall guiding principles is this sense of a living river. We know in Western Oregon especially that the river we see in summer, that beautiful braided stream, in winter becomes something very different, and channels shift and waters become high. And the native species have evolved with that. Oregon chub, which recently recovered, Chinook salmon. That's the time of year when juveniles are coming downstream. They're getting out of the way, if they can, the heavy equipment work that looks really dramatic. When the equipment pulls out and the river comes back in, you start to see the footprint of what used to be that large, wide, meandering, almost Nile-like river system come back. So it's true. Restoration work, I know that you've, in Southern Oregon as well, there have been big helicopter-driven log placements in streams and other sorts of heavy equipment and really intensive work that I think takes people aback. But it's absolutely a reset, and based on the habitat values and things that we've lost and want to restore, there's a point at which we do have to do some intensive work.
There must be some before and after views then where you can get a chance to compare what things looked like when you just finished the restoration work and then what it looks like a year or three down the road.
Absolutely. The funders demand that, rightly so, that we need to know that the millions of dollars we're pouring into restoration and conservation has benefit for the public and for the fish and wildlife habitat. So whether it's photo points where you're visually looking at it or pre and post monitoring of fish assemblages, how many natives were there before, how many non-natives, what sort of species show up, how do the bird communities shift over the time of the restoration, monitoring and of those sorts of things has become incredibly important. It's still ridiculously difficult trying to show, particularly on one little site, the impact, say, even of a 50-acre project really will take a lot of money, a lot of time, a decade, really, to make a judgment on things.
You mentioned the funders. Where does your funding come from?
We get a lot of funding from members. We are close to 800 individual members, just like a public radio station relies on its members. There are private organizations which have been particularly helpful. The Meyer Memorial Trust has really invested in the conservation community here in Oregon. When we turn to federal agency dollars and state agency dollars and other private foundations, wherever we can find them.
You mentioned, we talked about conservation easements just a bit. The easements, do they stay connected to the property in perpetuity, no matter who the owner is?
That's absolutely right. Yeah, it becomes something that's on all of the county records when you look up a new property, a part of a title search.
So like a power line easement or anything, any other easement, it just stays with the property as long as the property's there?
Yeah, and even more so than power line easement, some of those things can be time-bound, but this is the conservation easement is a pretty unique real estate obligation. It really does show the commitment that in creating the founding legislation, Congress said these provide such important long-term public benefits that we want to make sure they are there for perpetuity.
You got a lot accomplished in 26, going on 27 years, but what are some of the items on the wish list for the McKenzie River Trust? What are the things up the river, down the river, that you would you'd like to be taking on in the future?
You know, our vision really, personal and organizational vision is that conservation as a concept becomes so integrated in what we think about as community development that it sort of fades away as something distinct, that the inclination to say this water is so important that whatever we do along the banks of the river, we need to keep that in mind, isn't even considered a, quote, conservation action anymore. It's just smart community development. That's the big picture. Now, how do we do that? Opportunities like this, as long as we have the ability to get out the door and help people who knock and say, I've got a piece of that riverfront, or I've got a piece of that prairie or that wetland or that upland, and I'd like to be a part of this effort that makes sure that those public benefits attend long after we're all gone. That's what drives us every day.
Which I haven't asked is, what's the size of the McKenzie Camp property, and what's the total acreage or square miles or whatever in holdings of the McKenzie River Trust at this point?
So McKenzie, the current portion of McKenzie Camp, we just purchased 154 acres. We have the option and are about to close in the next month or so on another 106. So that'll be a 260-acre parcel. But it's opened the door with Roseboro to talk about similar parcels. I think that's something that we find with all landowners. Neighborhoods, once somebody sees that, hey, this has been to the benefit of the seller and to the benefit of the community, it opens the door to more. The trust has now had a hand in the protection of a little over 5,000 acres, and we'd like to keep that rolling.
All right. Joe Mall is the executive director of the McKenzie River Trust in the process of acquiring more land along the river. Thanks for joining us today, Joe.
Really appreciate the opportunity. Thanks very much.
You bet. Good to have you. And that'll do it for this hour of the Jefferson Exchange. We'll talk about home and humans in hour two.